Brad Stevens praises his players who took part in George Floyd protests.
Plus, the NBA has an end date for when the season restarts.
It's the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast. Let's go.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Wednesday here. We're back with another Locked On NBA podcast. As usual on Wednesdays, I'm John Corrales. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. You can find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter at NolaJake.
I want to thank our sponsors for today's podcast, RockAuto.com. Go to RockAuto.com for reliably low prices on auto parts, lower than you're going to find at your local chain stores. An amazing selection, reliably low prices. Tell them that you found them through the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market, covered in chocolate, all the protein you want, no extra carbs, calories, sugars. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first purchase. Obviously, the prevailing topic here is the fallout, the protests, and everything across the country from the George Floyd killing. But before we get into that discussion, and I had a discussion with Brad Stevens today about that. Before we get into that, we have to start by mentioning the passing of Wes Unseld, who is one of the most underrated legends in NBA history. I think when you think of the big, tough, bruising big men of the 70s, he has to be one of the guys that you talk about. And he was like a vicious rebounder. He was a master of fundamentals. Before we went crazy over Kevin Love's outlet passes, it was Wes Unseld who was throwing outlet passes. Wes Unseld died on Tuesday at the age of 74, and it is a sad day in the basketball world.
Yeah, this one's really sad, and this is a guy, when you say underappreciated, you know, you and I watch a lot of basketball. We've watched a lot of historical basketball. This is not a guy that I've watched a lot of, and you mentioned, you know, these big bruisers of, you know, the 70s and such. Dude was 6'7" and averaged 14 rebounds per game at center.
Yeah.
Like, think about how good you have to be able to pull off something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, his rookie year, by the way, as a rookie, was rookie of the year and MVP. Averaged 14 points a game and 18 rebounds. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Playing all 82 games, it really just a, just monstrous. He averaged 14 rebounds a game over the course of his career. The first five seasons of his career, 18.2, 16.7, 16.9, 17.6, 15.9 rebounds per game. Four out of five all-star teams there. He made another one in 74, 75. Won a title in Washington, which is not
their only one.
So yeah, he was part of their only championship in 1978. He is a legend, a Hall of Famer, and more so, you hear the stories of Wes Unseld, a quality person who a great teammate. I did meet Wes Unseld once. I was playing in a tournament in Washington D.C. in college, and he was speaking on behalf of the hosts, and it was just amazing to meet Wes Unseld. You walk up to him, he was intimidating. Just the width of him, you're like, oh my God, Mr. Unseld, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir. Please don't hurt me. It was great. I'm glad I had an opportunity to meet him at least. So
he still ranks 12th all time in career rebounds, and he's got 13,769 career boards, and it's the most all time for a player listed 6'8" and under. Tells you all you need to know probably about how that guy played, huh?
Yeah, really, really. You talk about undersized guys now. I mean, think about him as a 6'7 center. I mean, one of few guys that are able to be that size and dominate. Kind of like a Charles Barkley before Charles Barkley.
Yep.
Rest in peace to Wes Unseld, and obviously our thoughts and condolences go out to him and his family. His son is an assistant on the Denver Nuggets. The Unseld family continues to have an impact on the NBA. So our thoughts go out to his family. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of positivity to talk about here, as we transition into the continued reaction by the NBA to the George Floyd killing, to the protests, the rioting, and everything, that's happened ever, you know, since then, that continues. Here for me in Boston suffered, some rioting and looting, a few nights ago. My hometown in Rhode Island, in Providence, had a violent, protest last night. And it's hard to process a lot of what's happening. And on Tuesday, I was part of a video conference with Brad Stevens. Now, Brad Stevens is one of the 30 coaches, all 30 coaches who, are participating in this new committee, that they're forming, to help maybe fight racism and to try to come up with solutions in NBA cities. But also he is the head coach of the Celtics, and Jaylen Brown is one of the very visible players who led a protest in Atlanta. Marcus Smart was very visible at a protest in Boston, along with a couple of other players, Vincent Poirier, Enes Kanter. And Brad Stevens, the words that he had, first of all, let me start with this. He praised Jaylen Brown, extraordinarily. The words that he had for Jaylen Brown, he said, as good as he is as a basketball player, the best stuff he's going to do in his life is going to be off the court. Because he's a special guy, he's a special leader. And I think, Jake, it's important for these leaders in the NBA, a predominantly white leadership in the NBA, coaches and GMs, to have this level of praise for these young black men who are taking these leadership roles. These are the players, but they are, at this point, they're the ones who are taking these leadership roles.
Yeah, you know, I think this is awesome. And you're hearing this also with Ryan Saunders over in Minnesota, which is kind of the epicenter for all of this too. And he's got players that are out there at these protests, particularly in Karl Anthony Towns, who's out there after, you know, a couple weeks after his mother passed away due to COVID-19. And Saunders kind of said the same thing, that they need to, in a way, empower these players. And you're seeing them do that, and they're empowering them off the court, which, if you want to create change in the world, you know, a lot of these players are really going to need to be and should be at the forefront of some of these movements. And they are. And I don't know, it's kind of exactly what you want to see. It's also these leaders, and Stevens and Saunders, admitting that they need to listen a little bit more and really understand their players and their experiences not being the same skin color and having a different experience. That I think is also really great to hear, that these guys are really setting the example, not just for their players, but maybe the rest of America too.
Yeah. And I'll read you the quote from Brad Stevens to that effect. When he was asked about trying to identify with these players, but knowing that you do not have their same experience, he said, you know, you also have to be aware, enough to know that I might not be the person that somebody turns to. I think to be able to be a listener, hearing our players talk about profiling, talk about discrimination, being empathetic towards that, and also being able to acknowledge that I may not know the depth of that, but no, I'm with you. If you need me, I'm here. And that sentiment is very, very important. And go ahead.
No, you've Got it exactly right. That is so unbelievably important to acknowledge and to understand. And then just spending time listening like these guys clearly are doing is, I think, a really important thing. I mean, look, you can even turn it to it from an on-court perspective. These guys are going to buy into these head coaches more and are going to play unbelievably hard for them. So, and that's just kind of like a side tangent to all of the, you know, just the morally right thing that these coaches are doing.
Yeah, it's, I'm happy that the NBA is more progressive than other leagues. I think it's important to create this atmosphere of listening and set the example of listening. I said this, if people want to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast that I released on Tuesday. I did my whole first segment was on this. The importance of listening to people who have had these experiences, and not to dismiss people who have had these experiences because you haven't seen it, or what, you don't get it, or whatever. It's okay. It is very okay as a person who may not be a person of color, who may come from a more affluent situation. It's okay to say, you know what? I don't understand what you go through. Talk to me about it. Explain it to me. Because, you know, you might think like, hey, my experience with police is that they're all great. And yeah, sure, maybe that's true. But listen to what these guys are saying.
Yes, and that's what is so tone deaf about the Knicks statement, but not really a statement since it was just an email that got leaked. There's a really good line in there from James Dolan, which is something I almost never say, and he says, I'm not qualified to speak on this. You are correct, James Dolan. You are not qualified to speak on this.
That's true.
But in that letter that James Dolan writes, it doesn't make it seem like he wants to understand it, so he does feel more qualified to speak on this. And you're seeing Brad Stevens, Saunders, and I'm sure everyone else, you know, for the most part in the league, all of the coaches signed that letter. All of those guys who are white and don't go through this on a daily basis seem really willing to listen and learn and understand. And that is a very important thing, because when you have someone like James Dolan who's not, you have that PR disaster and just not using your organization's force for good, which you could be doing.
You know, let's pause for a second and get into that Knicks thing, because I want to know how important is it for an organization like the Knicks to make a statement? We're going to do that in just a second. First, once again, I want to thank our sponsor, Rock Auto. Look, life goes on in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of all of this. You have things that you still need to get done, and one of them might be fixing your car. Jake, are you a car guy?
I actually am, and I'm actually semi-restoring a classic car right now. So when I saw Rock Auto was going to start sponsoring the network, I got very excited because I actually ordered a part from them about 2 days ago. And it was about $50 cheaper from Rock Auto than it was for one of those other ones that you can find kind of in your neighborhood.
Yeah. See, now I'm not a car guy, but I'm going to take your word for it. RockAuto.com, that they do offer the lowest prices, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, kind of like an airline would. RockAuto.com is for everybody. Doesn't require a membership. Doesn't require an account login. I don't know much. But I do know about saving money. And when I see this example of a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey costing $354 at Advance, but $217 at rockauto.com, that's a big deal. You want to save some cash and you know what to do with a fuel pump assembly, then go to rockauto.com and save yourself a few bucks. They've got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet. Whether it's a classic car, daily driver, an idiot like me, a few easy clicks, you can get what you need directly delivered to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts that are available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specification, and prices you prefer. And the best thing is, RockAuto.com, always reliably low, and the same for professionals or do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same part. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts that are available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. In the previous segment, we paused at the Knicks' lack of a public statement. And people inside the Knicks organization are pissed. And rightfully so, because I think from their perspective, they kind of want to know, well, where do you stand on this? If you're silent, you're complicit. At the same time, I wonder, like, if James Dolan and the MSG company puts out a statement that is kind of stock and we are outraged by the death of George Floyd and, you know, put it on a black background with white lettering like everybody's doing right now. Do we take that seriously? And so my question is, how important is it really for every company, every brand out there to be putting out a statement when you know that a lot of it feels like pressure? Like, why are they putting it out today on June 2nd, more than a week after the incident happened?
So you make a really good point about it with that, you know, it largely almost seems like a, like performatory or something like that. Like you're just doing this because everyone else is doing this and you've got to, you know, you're feeling pressured to do it and there's no real meaning or substance behind it. And I think, you know, we've seen some of the statements from a lot of teams that have put them out and not every team in every league has done that. And sometimes you kind of read those and you're like, well, this is stupid. You may as well not have said anything as of putting this thing that you've just copy and pasted from like the playbook of PR disasters or something like that. So I agree with you that, you know, if you're going to put out a hollow statement, maybe it's better to say nothing. But, you know, I think it is still important that these organizations, you know, where people spend a lot of money on and maybe you don't want to support an organization that doesn't follow up with your values. And look, you know, in my full-time job, you kind of see how people trust brands differently and organizations differently and want to support organizations that really do match their values. So if you're one of these organizations, brands, companies, whatever word you want to use, it's actually kind of important to do this to keep that younger generation that largely kind of falls in line with that more. So, you know, I think that's important because one, you could lose customers and two, those customers don't want to be shopping with you or giving you any sort of revenue or their money if they don't kind of feel in line with it. And if you're a season ticket holder and you're spending a lot of money, that can be really important to you, even if it is just a little bit of a performance, I think. And I've spoken to a number of Pelican season ticket holders about that here that waited for the Pelicans to put out a statement that was pretty okay, pretty good. And, you know, for the first couple hours before they got to that in the afternoon, felt almost betrayed by the organization. So to not create that feeling in people, I think, is important. It's also 2020 where maybe you actually do need to come out and say you are not racist, which as stupid as that sounds is like kind of the world we're living in right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. And like there's a part of me that wants to say, you know, I have more respect for a person like Dolan who isn't going to say anything and just basically tells me who he is. Like I'd rather have you just tell me who you are. Like great. Now I already kind of knew, but like by not issuing the statement and saying like, "Yeah, we're just not gonna." That fine, good. Now I know who you are. I know what your values are. Great. But I know it's not as simple as that. And especially in New York, I'm not pissed necessarily that Jim Dolan isn't putting out a statement like a stock statement like a lot of other organizations have. And I don't want to be unfair to say that, like, I'm not trying to be dismissive. Like, I know that teams, the people behind the statements, the owners, the governors, however they want to be referred to, the coaches, they put out a statement. Like, you know, I know the Boston Celtics put out a statement, just speaking from the team that I cover. And I know the people behind it mean what they say. But there are companies, corporations that put out empty statements all the time. But what James Dolan and what the Knicks, the New York Knicks, should be doing is taking an active role in trying to play peacemaker in a city where the Knicks are very high profile, where they have a standing, where a great number of their fans are African American, to say something in regards to the police violence that's happening, the protests, the way they're being handled, to come out and say something meaningful about what's happening in our streets has to stop. We need to find a way for police and the people with something valid to say to come together and hear each other and not be violent on one side or the other or both. And the Knicks coming out and saying that, an institution in New York City, the Knicks would have high value, high impact in making a strong statement for that. They don't even have to talk about George Floyd. They don't have to talk about we decry police brutality. That would be nice, but at least say something about what's happening in your city night after night after night and take a leadership role in that way.
So I think that's a big part of it. No, these are, all of these sports franchises are institutions, pillars of the communities that they're in. For better or worse, whether they want to be or not, they are. They represent an identity to a lot of people. You hear that on Twitter when we make fun of one team and their fans come like right at us. And, you know, they carry a lot of weight with the things they say. So in a city that's as torn up as New York is right now, for the Knicks not to say anything, again, it's disappointing. They're not necessarily under an obligation to do so, I guess. You know, I think that gets kind of into a bit of a weird territory with it, like who's obligated to do what. But, you know, you'd like to. Sometimes they're just simply kind of doing the right thing. And, you know, if Dolan didn't feel comfortable speaking on this, craft something like what the Washington Wizards did, where they let their players put out the statement on their official Twitter and all of that. And it was unbelievably powerful and I think is largely considered the best one of all of these statements that was put out there. And I think that is a really important thing. You know, one of the things why I think you're going to end up seeing a lot of the Locked On hosts really supporting these protests and everything that's going on is, you know, we make money on the backs of these black athletes, these black NBA players. And so how, if it improves our livelihood, should we not be stepping up for them in a time when, you know, that community needs us? Same thing for the owners too. They're rich because of these players.
Right.
You know, to some degree, you could, you know, but you get what I'm saying. They make a lot of money because of these players. And for them not to stand up and support those players, what's that message you send to your team? And if you want, you know, it goes back to some of the buy-in thing. You know, if you're a New York Knicks player right now, how do you feel about playing for that organization?
Sure. Sure. Look, I think those are all great points. When you think about the Knicks, when we talk about like the Mecca of basketball, what do we talk about? We talk about MSG. We talk about New York basketball, the legends, like basketball in New York are hand in hand. They are missing an opportunity. You call it obligation or not obligation. This is an opportunity. Like you said, if you took all of the NBA players and put them in a league with a bunch of different owners and gave them all different uniforms, have them play in a bunch of different arenas, what are you going to watch? Are you going to watch a team that Jim Dolan owns that wears Knicks jerseys, that's players 451 through 900 in the world? Or are you going to watch some team playing in Pittsburgh owned by Joe Schmo, but it's the actual NBA players? You're going to watch what was NBA basketball. Those players are the ones you want to watch.
This is why the league's putting Zion in there.
Right.
Into the playoffs. Right. We're going to talk about this a little bit in the next segment. Because he's a draw. Same thing for Damian Lillard. No one is tuning in because Gail Benson owns the Pelicans or because you like the Pelicans uniforms. You're tuning in because it's Zion. Same right. thing for Portland. If Lillard's not there, I might not watch that.
Right. So to your point, and a point that's being made a lot more, is that these young black men have this incredible skill, but they have this life experience, and they have created this league. They have made this league what it is through their skill, through their hard work. And those of us, all of us in their sphere, and that goes to fans, NBA fans, those of us in the media, those of us on staffs, in ownership, all of us, we owe it to everybody who plays in the league to listen to them. And they are standing up and speaking for millions of other people who don't have their same platform. They are representative of groups all over the country, and they are saying the same thing. We owe it to them to do one simple thing. Listen, truly listen to what they have to say. And if you do listen to what they have to say, then you can now start to make the changes that are necessary. We all have to join in. We have to join in. These young men are doing something very important right now. We have to stand by them. Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about the league possibly setting what amounts to a drop dead date. The end of the season may be set. We'll do that when we come back here on the Locked On NBA podcast. Jake, I am a happy guy. You know why?
Why is that?
Because I got my Built Bars in the mail. I finally got my restock.
It's a good day. I actually I know it's going to sound like we're reading an ad, and we are to a degree, but like I actually need to reorder in a day or two.
Yeah. I took advantage of the deal that was last week where they had $5 off each box.
Yeah.
So I got a little bit of a break. I also used the promo code Locked On. I used that. I spent my own money. And Jake, you're spending your own money.
This will be my second reorder. They sent us free bars. Like basically everyone on the network tried them and goes, we really like these.
Yeah.
We really like these. And so people are spending their own money to buy more of these. I use these. So they become my lunch during all of this. Yeah. I tend to work out right around 11:30, 12 right after that. Go and eat one of these to kind of just do a meal replacement. I'll also get the protein I need after working out.
Perfect. I have one with my coffee in the morning to get me going. Cause it's good protein, just the right amount of carbs, no extra stuff and no extra sugars, no extra calories. The bars that I got are 20 grams. It's the peanut butter ones, 20 grams of protein and like 180 calories. So what more endorsement can you ask for than people spending their own money to buy the product? Like, we are actually using the promo code Locked On to get $10 off. I got $10 off my first order. So I bought with my own money. Jake's buying with their own money. I know other guys are. You should too. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You get $10 off your first purchase. Check out all the flavors. If you have a nut allergy, there are nut-free options. If you have a gluten sensitivity, it's gluten-free. Check the labels. You can compare directly on the website, compare their bars to other popular protein bars, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. It's builtbar.com. Promo code is Locked On for $10 off your first purchase. Okay, basketball, it's coming back. I think it's inevitable, barring unforeseen circumstances, we are knocking on the door of a return to the NBA season. And not only that, we now have a proposed date for the Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So the season, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, could end as late as October 12th if they play all the way through and get to a Game 7 of the NBA Finals. October 12th, which is about a month later than the initial kind of timeline, Jake, of a return to basketball.
Yeah, that was a little bit surprising that, you know, this kind of seemed to go really far back, but I think this is maybe the league being a little bit cautious, and I'm sure that's just the date they need things to end. If you want to start the season, I'm assuming on December 25th, that you've got to end on that date. Now, maybe when they start to kind of figure out and officially decide, which I believe is going to be in the next day or two, how many teams are coming back, then maybe it turns out, based on how the schedule goes, that you can end things earlier. This also seems to indicate a fairly lengthy ramp-up period, right, of whether it's a play-in tournament or a regular season before a play-in tournament, something like that. And I think it kind of gives you an idea of what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you this.
Tell me.
Already, I am so freaking excited for October 12th because that is a Monday. And it's going to be game 7 where Zion leads the Pelicans to victory over, let's call it the Boston Celtics. I was going to say the Lakers because it'd be fun to stick it to them. Zion, game 7, game winner over Lakers, Celtics, whatever. We'll include you in on this fantasy here. And then later that night, Monday Night Football, Chargers at Saints. I've got Drew Brees throwing for 9 touchdowns and 800 yards in that game. It's going to be the greatest sports day in the history of New Orleans that only a quarter of the people can watch in person.
Are you dipping your Built Bars in like Frangelico or something? Like what are you doing? Are you a little drunk there?
A couple Sazeracs here.
Yeah,
with
right.
Me.
No kidding. sure. You know, to that point, I know everybody's talking about how the NBA is like bending over backwards to try to get Zion Williamson in. And you know what? I don't care for two reasons. One, we all like watching Zion. Two, they're trying to recoup money. You, whatever fan of whatever team you are, whatever team you root for, you should want Zion in too. Even you, Memphis Grizzlies fan, I'm sorry, because if Zion comes in, and especially if Zion is healthy and the Pelicans make some noise, the ratings will be through the roof.
Don't give me any of this if stuff.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
But
you're
but
right. This is not about fairness. Yeah, it's not about fairness. Like, we're in a global pandemic. Fairness kind of goes out the window. And I would say that same thing if the Pelicans were left out of this. I mean it. I promise you on all of that. It's about trying to find the right balance between recouping money and having some sense of competitive fairness. If the NBA wanted to go all in on money, you bring the Warriors back and let Steph Curry play because people will watch him.
Right.
But they're not doing that. So there's some aspect of wanting things to be fair competitively.
So they want to have – if you want to have some sort of regular season, I don't think you just bring back the 16 teams. You want to have some sort of regular season games, you got to bring in a few of these other teams. Where do you draw the line? 20, 22, 24?
I don't mind the 22 team thing. I think that's fine. You know, I understand why you don't need to bring them all back and just, I think of that more from a risk of injury than I do from a COVID-19 and like, you know, catching the disease perspective on everything with it, or virus. I mean, and I think it's more about just, okay, those guys don't need to play. They don't need to risk getting hurt. But yeah, 22 teams, when you kind of look at the records and try and keep things somewhat fair, like, yeah, that makes sense to me.
And so you get 8 or 10 games, whatever the number is, of Zion in there and making some sort of run. Then, okay, if those are ratings bonanzas, then great, congratulations. The league recoups more money and that's less of an impact on the salary cap. That's less of an impact on the luxury tax. That means more normalcy, or at least closer to normalcy, at least a departure from the norm that isn't so great, or, you know, it's lessened. The impact is lessened. You want all of that stuff. Like this, like you said before, this isn't normal. This is some teams are going to get screwed. Some teams are going to, it's going to be unfair, but this is how it is, and by sticking the Pelicans in there and drumming up a lot more casual fan interest, that just means that we're going to get a little closer to where the league is supposed to be financially, and hopefully as we move forward, the impact of this long term isn't so bad. But I don't care, Jake, if it's 22, 24 teams. We talked about this before the show. I'm not buying this whole, like, it's gotta be 16 teams for safety. Like, if it's 16 teams
not at
for
all.
Safety, then whatever.
Then it's no teams.
Right. Go.
Yeah, so I feel a bit strongly on that side of things. I don't like that argument. If you're saying there's a difference in terms of safety between 16 teams and 22 teams, you're just worried about your team and their chances of, like, not getting in, I think. And I think it's stupid. There's no tipping point there when it comes to this sort of thing. If it's a safety concern to you, then no team should be there and no team should be playing. I think it's as simple as that. You and I were talking, and I do think one thing that got a little bit lost in everything that's going on in the world right now is that flattening the curve was not about necessarily getting it, you know, the infection rate to zero. You'd like it to be there. I'd like it to be there, but it's more about like an acceptable level of risk. And look, I'm not going to come in. I'm very liberal. I'm not going to come in as one of these politicians that's like, everyone needs to go back to work now. I don't think that at all, like, whatsoever. So I want to be very clear on that. But I think it's about having the resources that if someone does get sick, they can be treated so that they likely won't die. And the NBA is going to have those resources available to their players. And I think that is something that's worth keeping in mind, that if one or two guys get sick, they will get very good treatment and likely overcome this. You're never going to get the risk of everything to zero. It's just unfeasible. But if your argument is that you think it's a safety issue, then you shouldn't be advocating for even 16 teams.
Right. And some people will sit there and be like, yeah, of course. I want zero teams. We should just stop.
And that's totally okay. I have no problem with that.
Fine. But they're not going to stop. Like, that's
the other thing.
They're not going to. They're going to scrub Disney down, let people in, test everybody. Theoretically, you scrub it down. Everybody who comes in is tested. And then you lock the door behind everybody. And this is it. The only, you have your run of the grounds, but, and there are certainly, you know, there have to be deliveries made. Well, how do you treat those? There's always a possibility. You're not living in a bubble, a literal bubble. You're not living in a vacuum. So there's always a possibility that something could happen. But if you do things smartly, safely, with masks and gloves, and you say, hey, look, sorry, dude, for 2 months, you're going to have to deal with this. We're going to let your family in. You can play in the hotels, and we're going to do the best we can with this. If you want your millions of dollars, and we want this league to not be crippled over the next 2-3 years by this, then we're going to suck it up and we're going to do this and we're going to make some concessions. And with the testing, and as I've said, I said once, I think it was on the Locked On Celtics podcast, however many tests they need, I don't know what the number is, 10,000, 15,000?
Sure, yeah.
Whatever the number is, the NBA buys them privately, buy twice as many, and give the city of Orlando, the surrounding areas, their half of it as well. So if you need 15,000 tests, get 30,000, give the city of Orlando 15,000 tests as well. So you are adding value to that community that you're in. So there's no perception of you're taking tests away from anybody. You have now given the general public 15,000 tests, exactly as many as you're using as well. And so you've added value, you can test your players, and you have a plan for if someone does test positive, quickly quarantine and blah, 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 whatever. And hopefully you can treat it as people have talked about, a sort of injury. So like a knee sprain, except this person's quarantined.
Mm-hmm. Look, you're seeing universities start to come back. And like, we don't need to get into a huge discussion on that. It's just, as long as you have the procedures in place to not let one test derail you. And it sounds like, you know, one of the reasons they're taking so long on all of this is to kind of get all of this right. It should be okay. You're seeing sports leagues start up around, you know, the world right now, and the NBA needs to, for the sake of the league, get back to play.
Right. Right. It's as simple as that. They're not releasing people who are sick into the general public. So, these are just one of them. We agree. There are people who will probably disagree vehemently, and that's fine too. Like,
yeah, totally.
I'm not an expert. You know, I feel comfortable in my opinion here. I think but there are people who certainly disagree. So to each his own on that, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes, I guess. Want to thank our sponsors for this Locked On NBA podcast, rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com if you're like Jake and you're rebuilding a car from scratch.
1976.
Oof, that's going to be fun. by the time this is all over, you'll have that thing done, and then I can visit New Orleans again, and we'll go for a drive.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
And we go, you go to rockauto.com to get the low prices, lower than a lot of the stores that you see, the chain stores around, sometimes even half as much as what you'd pay for them. So go to rockauto.com, check it out, and write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Also, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first order of the best tasting protein bar on the market. All the protein, not a lot of calories, no extra carbs or sugars. Locked On at BuiltBar.com for $10 off your first order. That's the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast. As usual, I am John Corrales, one of your Wednesday hosts. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast, and you find me on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter at @NolaJake.
All right, now go ahead and tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board.